Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another fun-filled edition of Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host Macaulay Matthews. I am, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's going on, man?
I'm all right. I'm back, and hopefully I'm better than ever after this two-week hiatus.
Hey, you're a little excited there.
I'm a little pumped. You know, just 10 minutes ago, Mets salvaged the last game of the three-game series between Brewers. I mean,
that's all you're excited.
Well, I guess so, and I'm glad that I'm back. You know?
Oh, man, you sound pumped up for some reason.
Well, I'm glad to be back. I guess them winning, saving face against the Brewers, a team that's horrible at home versus the Mets, a team that's horrible on the road with their seventh win. But we'll talk more about that. We'll talk a little bit about the Yankees. We'll even talk about that a rarity. We'll even talk about the Angels that Kendrick Morales game-winning walk-off home run, which, of course, we all know. We'll talk about what happened afterwards. And we'll talk a little hoops. A little NBA with, of course, what I would call the NBA equivalent of hell freezes over NBA finals for me. The two teams I hate the most, Lakers versus Celtics. for the millionth time again, you know.
Yeah, second time in 3 years.
Yeah, second time in 3 years, and one of the millions and millions mm-hmm. of times that these two, unfortunately, legendary and successful franchises are going one-on-one for the NBA title again.
Yeah.
But we'll, of course, talk about that. We'll talk a little bit about LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, giving us a little insight what's going to with the meeting between him and the other major free agents. We'll talk about that also. You know, as usual, we'll open the phone lines for you in case anybody want to, you know, voice their opinions and, you know, change it up, talk about sports, entertainment, you know the deal. And, of course, you know, as usual, we will end it off with a little, so, you know, professional wrestling. So, you know, without further ado, I guess let's go to the baseball diamond. And we will, I guess we'll switch it up. We'll lead off with your Yankees.
What? Lead off with the Yankees? Wow.
Yeah, we're going to lead off with the Yankees.
Wow, because you usually lead off with your Mets.
I mean, sometimes I do lead off with you guys, but I...
What's gotten into you today, man?
Whatever I got, you better hope it's not contagious.
Well, the Yankees had a great game today. They avoided the loss because it looked like they were going to lose the game. They were down 3-0 through 6 innings. And then out of nowhere in the 7th inning, they scored, I think, 7 straight runs to win the game 7-3. And Robinson Cano had another great game. He had 2 hits. Peter had a big at-bat to start off the inning. And then, you know, Yankees piled runs in that 7th inning, and Burnett got the win. He pitched good today. And Rivera closed it out, and Yankees win 2 out of 3 from the Indians after losing a crushing loss yesterday when they were leading by 10-5, and then they lose 13-11, I think it was, yesterday. So today they rebound, they get the win, and off they go. 30-20 record now.
What was the record you said?
They're now 30-20. I think they're still 4.5 games back of Tampa Bay, but like I said, I don't think Tampa Bay's gonna keep it up. So.
Yeah, I mean they're gonna have to fall back to earth a little bit.
Yeah. But my boy Robinson Cano's been playing good, man. He's hitting like 360, 10 home runs. 37 RBIs. He has a chance to be the American League MVP this year. Who knows?
Good. He hit a grand slam not to like. Which series was it? The first game of this series or was it the previous series?
Yeah, it was the first game. First game of the series. Yeah.
I think that's when you guys won like 8-2.
Yeah. He's been having a great year so far, batting in that 5 spot. So.
He's been He's looked good this year, with the exception of the Subway Series against the Mets.
And plus, in that Subway Series that you guys won 2 out of 3 from, we did have some injured Yankee players, so.
Oh, please. I didn't hear you guys saying that.
I'm not making any excuses, but.
Oh, boy. I didn't hear you guys saying that when Mets had their entire lineup missing because of injuries last year. You guys swept us. I didn't hear you guys.
No, but you guys still had your major key guys playing last year, though.
Who? Other than Wright.
Beltran,
look.
Wright.
Are you? But, man, those guys were hurt.
Beltran played in that series, didn't he?
Wait, Reyes was hurt. Pretty much everybody else was hurt.
Come on. Who drives in more runs, Reyes or Beltran?
So, Reyes is the igniter. Reyes is the key igniter. That's like saying, who knocked in the more runs, Jeter or Teixeira? Jeter is the igniter of the Yankee lineup, just like how Reyes is the igniter of the Mets lineup.
Yeah, but I mean, you still had some major key guys. We had like 4 guys going for that series. 4 key guys. Posada.
Beltran was hurt. I think that's when Beltran was hurt around that time. Because Beltran missed.
Really?
He could. I mean, I could be wrong because I could have saw one of these series against you guys. He was hurt.
Well, I know this year, we didn't see him at all.
The thing, I think around that time he was hurt. I think David Wright was the only guy, regular guy on the lineup that was there, because Reyes, of course, was gone since May of last year. I think Beltran was hurt at that time. I could be wrong. You might be right, but I think around that time he was hurt. But like I said, I could be wrong. But there was 20 guys on the team that was on the DL.
Yeah.
20 out of the 25 man roster, and it was a very horrible team to say the least. With the injuries, and then you couple that with the two previous years before that with the two collapses. It was a very hard year. At least this year they're more healthy. I mean, and they're more competitive. But hopefully they'll keep that going.
Yeah, but I gotta give it up to you guys. You guys pitch well. You guys have been playing well for the last week up until this Brewer series. You guys won 2 out of 3 from the Yankees, then you swept the Phillies at home. So
yeah,
you guys still got to prove you can win on the road, though.
That's it. You are absolutely right. They definitely got to prove. But the Brewers series, what's more frustrating is that they could have won this series because the 1-0 game, they had an opportunity in the third against Gallardo, the ace of the Brewers. They had a chance to score a run on him and. With 1 out, I think, and then they bounced into a double. Might have been one out or nobody out, and they didn't score the whole game. And then as soon as they took out Santana, who went 8th inning, dominating them for 8 innings.
Yeah.
Jerry Emanuel, he made the decision to instead bring in Igarashi, and he of course. Gave up the game winning 2-run home run to Corey Hart, who killed the Mets in this series. This guy hit like I think 4 home runs this series. So the game winning home run on Friday, I think 2 home runs yesterday, and 1 of the home runs to cut the lead to 6-4, which was Mets rallied today to score to win by the final score of 10-4.
Yeah, K-Rod closed it out, right?
K-Rod closed the game, but of course, it wasn't a safe situation. But,
hey, I don't know about you, but K-Rod is looking shaky and shaky these days.
Yeah, he's kind of shaky. But then again, his last year, even the year when he had the save opportunities, when he blew seven games. He's kind of a little wild, You rarely see him have a 1-2-3 inning.
And that year when he set the record for most saves in a season, he also had the most blown saves in that season also.
Yeah, that's what I said too. He had 7 blown saves. Even going up to that, even in that year when he set a record, most saves in a regular season, he was erratic, walking people all over the place. Even in the playoffs, I think against the Red Sox, if I'm not mistaken, he was erratic. But he's been okay. I mean he did save 9 out of 11. So statistically he's been good. But watching him pitch every day, you rarely see a 1-2-3 inning. I could think of one game that he had a 1-2-3 inning, and he needed Ike Davis to do one of those great dive into the first base stands to end the game. But he definitely need to work on his mechanics because he's been wild for these last couple of years.
Yeah, but, as good as he is, I mean he's a shaky closer, and aside from Mariano and maybe Trevor Hoffman,
even Trevor Hoffman is shaky. Just because Trevor Hoffman has the most career saves, this guy is you of all people. I mean, should know that Trevor Hoffman in the big spots, he chokes like most closers.
That's true.
With the exception of your guy in the game, but of course, I mean, Mariano's blowing games too.
Yeah,
Game 7, 2001. But
I mean, he's not a shaky closer though. He's more feminine though.
Well, yeah. I'm just messing with you, but generally,
but his other closers are shaky. I mean,
yeah,
you can't rely on them.
You gotta give your guy Mariano a pass. You know, the guy.
There's Mariano, and then there's everybody else.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. The guy won 5 championships. The guy is, you know, arguably the greatest closer of all time. Definitely, without a doubt, in our generation. So,
you know, he doesn't have the, you know, all-time, you know, days record.
Yeah, but we all know, you know, like R-Truth would say, we know what's up. We know that,
yeah.
You know, he's the best, you know.
Of course.
What's his name? Hoffman has it statistically, but in a big spot, he blew two saves against you guys in '98.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
All star games and what have you. This guy in a big spot, you can't trust the guy. Just like all the other closers, with the exception of Mariano, Papelbon. Very few closers.
Yeah.
It's a small class. You could even put K-Rod in that class, even though he's shaky. But he does, for the most time than not, he does come through. But it's a small fraternity of successful closers. When you think of you know, the closers, you think of you know, the ones that blow saves like Benitez, Jose Mesa, who back in the days I used to call Benitez daddy, because he looked like an older version of Benitez. And Valverde, who I think is overrated. He does compile a lot of saves, like all those aforementioned guys. But man, that guy's a choke artist too.
Yeah.
All these clothes you think of. Danny Baez, you go all the way down the list. But Tom
Ergin,
Gordon.
Abina.
Oh yeah, you're being all right. I forgot about that guy.
Tom Gordon was good for a while.
No, Tom Gordon, he's good. But when it comes to the regular season, I mean the postseason or a big game, he chokes.
You saw that in the Red Sox series.
You should know that.
Well, yeah, I saw that firsthand.
Yep.
He kind of looks like Kevin Eubanks.
kind of looks like him. But I mean. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's, you know, it ain't easy saving when all the pressure's on you, you know. It's a, you know, a thankless position, because, you know, if people are talking about the closing, that means something bad happened. People expect you to, you know, always be perfect all the time.
Yeah.
But like Ben Parker, Spider-Man's uncle, said, with great power comes great responsibility. If you're going to be the man and be the closer and you're going to make all that money and people are expecting you to produce, you know, you got to produce.
You better be able to close it out when it counts.
Yep. Never mind me of a time, because when he was with the Mets, there was this guy who was like batting 500 against him. And he blew the save. I forgot who. I mean, let's face it, Benitez blows a lot of saves, so it's kind of hard to remember all his blown saves. It's against the Yankees or Braves, but so anyway, he blew a save against a game, and he was doing like this press conference, and he was saying like how, you know, he don't understand how, you know, people are, you know criticizing him, you know, because the guy's, you know, batting 500, because, you know, he got the guy out, you know, half as much times as the guy, you know beat him. Realistically speaking, yeah, he has a point, but then again, he forgets that baseball is
You have to close the game.
Yeah, baseball is a law of, well, yeah, you have to close the game, of course, but the baseball is a law of average. Baseball is the only sport when you could fail 7 out of the 10 times and still be considered a successful player.
Where is Benitez now? I mean, he's probably somewhere in the Dominican Republic, right?
Probably.
Is he Dominican or Cuban?
Yeah, he is Dominican.
Oh, he is Dominican.
Maybe he is.
Sometimes
maybe
I can't tell the difference.
Maybe he's in Newark Bears or something. One of those, or Long Island Ducks, you know, one of those minor league, no, those independent league, organizations. Now that I remember, he might be in one of those stuff. But in any case, good riddance to that guy.
Yeah. Badass.
What did you say? I didn't hear.
I don't know, I call him a fat ass. Because he did come over to us, and he looked good for a while, but then he really didn't do anything for the Yankees.
But look at the bright side. At least Joe Torre was smart enough to see how he performed as a Met. That, you know, he rarely blew games for you guys. I could think of one game off the top of my head that he actually, you know, lost a game, I think against the Red Sox. In Fenway, they brought him in and he gave him, I think, a walk-off home run. I don't even remember who.
And this guy, he sweated a lot, man. Even when it was cold, he was sweating.
Oh,
I don't understand that.
Yep.
I mean, damn. He must have been really nervous when he went to pitch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. This guy, he had all the ability, but he didn't have it, you know, mentally to handle the pressure.
Yep.
Such as he think he did. And this is coming from a guy who used to be a supporter of the guy because, you know, that was my closer, you know.
Yeah.
I just believe that, you know, even though everybody was hating on the guy and dogging on the guy for the obvious reasons, you know, I try to rally behind the guy and, you know, believe that this guy would, you know, actually try to finally come through and have a breakout year and, you know, try to hopefully lead us to the World Series again and redeem himself. But there was one, I think it was the last year he was with the Mets. It was either 03 or 04. We had a 4-0 lead, which, obviously it was in a safe situation, but they brought him in anyway. So, you know, just to, you know, get rid of the, you know, just to, you know, shut the Yankees down. I forgot who pitched that game. Might have been Glavin or, I can't remember. Maybe Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Mets was cruising.
Right.
You probably remember this game.
But maybe.
See, you blew so many games. He blew so many games against you guys. that you probably don't remember. So in any case,
I lost count.
So pretty much it was a 4-0 game. And then, you know, they two guys, the Yankees, were tripping away. And then, slowly but surely, it became a 4-3 game.
Right.
And then afterwards, this must have been old. Let me think what year this was. Wow. I can't remember. So anyway, there was, I think it was 4-3. And then afterwards, Posada was at the plate. And he went, I think he went 3-2 or 3-0 on Posada.
Uh-huh.
Like, come on, man. Because Benitez, up until this point, he blew four saves. And I think, like, three in a row.
Man.
So, which is rare for Benitez because, you know, say what you will about the guy. The guy always blows saves. But the guy, statistically, he blows, like, maybe two or three saves a whole year, entire year. But this year, he was, like, he already had, like, he already had like I think 5 or 6 blown saves or something like that up until this point, and like 3 or 4 in a row.
Right.
Coming into that game, so I was like, man, you know, I'm, dude, he better come through, or else I'm resigning from the Benitez fan club. So needless to say, he walks beside with the bases loaded, and I'm, I don't remember everything, but all I know is that FCC went, like what I was saying, whatever, I don't even remember what I was saying, but let's just say, you wouldn't find any of those language on Sesame Street. So in any case, you know, I officially resigned from the Benitez fan club and wanted this guy traded. So that was that.
Well, you know, who do you think out of, I'm going to give you three Mets closers. Who do you think is better? Benitez, Wagner, or K-Rod? Which one of those three would you want in the big game? To close out a big game.
That's very good. I'll rank them in order. Would you like from the best to the worst or the worst to the best?
No, you know what? I'll give you four. John Franco, Benitez, Wagner, and I'll give you five.
How are we adding?
John Franco.
Right.
Benitez, Wagner.
You got Looper.
K-Rod, Looper.
Top
Who would
five.
You want to close the game in a big game? In a big game.
This is like the top five of the closers around it when I'm starting to, you know, following the team.
Yeah.
All right, wow. Okay. Should I rank them from best to worst or worst to best? Which one do you think should be more interesting?
Best to worst.
Okay, best to worst. Best to worst, I'll start off with K-Rod. You know, he's the current closer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's still got that fire in his belly, you know. He's pitched well against the Yankees. His only blown save I could think of off the top of my head was, of course, the Castillo game, which,
right.
Of course, he did load the bases and he did create lose his composure, but he was, if Castillo would have made that catch, he would have had the save situation. So you could shoulder the blame on him and Castillo. So, but other than that, he's pitched well. So I'm gonna put him number one right now. Number two is Billy Wagner. Here's another guy who has blazing stuff. A guy who's, you know, tough. Him, of course, just like every other Yankee, just like every other Met closer against the Yankees, you know, he blew maybe one or two saves against you guys.
Oh, yeah,
probably
I remember.
Probably in the same 4-0 scenario. Oh, yes, this is the game. I remember now. He came into a 4-0 lead, too. Nancy situation. Got the lead cut down to 4-3, and there was a play. They got the force out at second. They were going to go to the first, or they were going to throw it to home, and the person scored. No, I remember now. They got the force play at second, and they were going to try to get the force play at first with Damon batting, and, of course, that blew the lead. And then, of course, Yankees would, of course, I think win in extra innings.
Yeah, that was at Shea, wasn't it?
Yes, that was it. That was at Shea. That was in maybe 06 or 07.
I remember.
Yeah, that was a Fox Saturday afternoon game. And Mets meant to do bad in those Saturday Fox games and those Sunday night ESPN games. That's another story for another time.
Yeah.
So he's number two. Same reason for K-Rod, you know. Those guys, you know, they have a presence on the mound that, you know, they're not intimidated by the Yankees. Sure, they do have their wild moments, but for the most part, you know, they don't really look that intimidated, generally speaking.
Right.
So I'm putting him number four. Now this is where it gets a little dicey. I'll put John Franco number three. He is the all-time net saves leader. Sure, he's had some, you know, some bad moments against the Yankees as well. Game of the World Series.
Oh yeah.
But I'll the same reason the guy, you know, he's a underdog, small guy, you know, got a chip on his shoulder, you know. He challenged people. You know, he doesn't have the best stuff, like the other two guys I mentioned on the list. But this guy, you know, he had a presence. You know, he grew up a Mets fan. This guy, he really bled orange and blue, and he wanted to, he wanted to represent for the Mets.
Yeah.
Gotta beat the Yankees. So, I'll put him number three.
Okay.
Now, four and five. Number four, I'm guessing you can guess who I'm gonna say.
Benitez.
I'm gonna say, it's a good one. That's a tough one. You know what? I'm gonna say Looper.
Really?
I'm gonna stick with Looper because you have me on the fence with Benitez and Looper. But I'm gonna stick with Looper because.
Now the game that I remember about Looper was the most was a game Subway Series game at Yankee Stadium, man.
Yeah, the Giambi, the Giambi one.
Yeah, I mean, and the guy, bases were loaded. He didn't get to retire anybody.
That is true. What year was that?
Man, I think that was 2005.
Let me see, 05?
Yeah, I think that was 05.
Might have been 05, you're right.
I think you guys had a chance to win 2 out of 3.
Right, you're right.
But we won that last game.
'05, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was the year when he pitched hurt, but he didn't tell anybody. I think he might have
Looper,
some.
I think he might have some
shaky moments, but yeah, that was the number one game that stands up in my mind. But you know,
his nickname was Blooper. Come on, man.
But yeah, I'm gonna leave him number four. You know.
Okay.
And number five is, of course, Armando Benitez, a guy who's top five in the Mets all-time saves. I think he's either number two or number three. He might be number two or three after John Franco. But he might either be right after Franco for number two, or he's third after whose name is escaping me? John Franco. It's Benitez, and right. Yeah, so it's him, it's John Franco, it's Benitez, and Franco.
Brandon Lupe.
Top three.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, wait. Franco's number one. Benitez is number two, I think. And I think maybe Orozco might be number three.
Oh, you're talking about the all-time saves, right?
Yeah. Wait.
Okay.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah.
Well, yes, but yeah, I'm gonna put Benitez number one for the obvious reasons. The guy has had the most potential out of all of those guys. You know, the guy, you know, he had opportunity to produce and make himself a legend in this city by, you know, being part of potentially a championship team in 2000.
Right.
When he took over the closer role and, you know, supplanted Johnny Franco as the closer. But he was the young Kim of you know, he preceded him by a year. He pretty much gave the series to the Yankees. Kim, unfortunately, unlike the D-backs, you know, with your closer, generally speaking, when you lose with your closer and your closer get humiliated like that, it's hard for your team to rally back and, you know,
yeah,
you know, try to win the game. But you know, Yankees were the favorite, and they of course won the series in five. Even though, if you look at all the games, Yankees were won by 3 out of the 4 games that the Yankees won were one-run games, except for the game clincher, game five, which was a two-run game, and the only game Mets won, and they beat El Duque. That was a two-run game, so. All the games in the Subway Series, sure it didn't last long. It only went five games, but it was a pretty competitive series. If you look at in game, but overall Yankees, you know, did what everybody expected them to do and hoist the World Championship in the Bronx, as they did last year again.
Maybe we could do this. We could do that this year in the Bronx, hopefully.
Hey, it's
possible. I know you guys won in Citi Field, but we're gonna get our revenge. Coming to Bronx.
What revenge? We want. Hey, man, if there's a team in New York that needs to get their revenge, it's the Mets against you guys. You guys beat us in the World Series, and I want to win the World Series. But if I could choose any team, I want it to be against you guys. I want you guys to have a front row seat. I want George Steinbrenner, to do that grimace, when he sees you guys, choking against the Mets. Because, Mets is the second team he hates the most, right after the Red Sox. So, I would love to see Jeter and Mariano cry and retire after the whooping Mets will put on them, hopefully. In the future.
Why you got a Steinbrenner for who can't even defend himself because he's on his deathbed right now? Why you gotta do that for, man?
Is he on his deathbed? Is he really on his deathbed?
I don't know. He could be.
Then why do you think he's on his deathbed for?
Well, right now he does have health problems and he is getting old and he is fragile and senile.
I didn't say I want the guy to die. I'm just saying,
No, but why you gotta? He can't defend himself right now.
He could buy this whole Rangers station and whatnot. I'm not just talking to the guy.
His sons are taking ownership right now.
Well, then I want Hank and Hal to cry. Okay? Does that make you feel better?
And you want Jeter and Mariano, man.
Yeah, I want them to retire. I want them to cry and be so humiliated that they retire.
All right.
I said it. Now don't take it back. Fine, I'll take back the Steinbrenner one. Since you guys want it. You guys are so sensitive about the boss.
Yeah, the guy's on his deathbed, and you gotta talk trash.
How do you think he's
him?
On his deathbed? You don't even know if he's on his deathbed or not.
Well, if he is,
sure
you should be dissing him.
Sure, he hasn't been on the best of health.
You don't know where he is.
He's getting up there.
He could be in his deathbed. I don't know.
Well, hopefully not. He's not.
Don't diss him, and he won't be on his deathbed.
Say what?
If you don't diss him, you won't be on the deathbed.
I don't have that power. If I had that power, the Mets would be winning the World Series every year. World champions every year. You guys would get your butt whipped at least one time in the World Series, and you guys would be in last place every year. After losing to the Mets in the World Series, of course. So I don't have that power. But,
I was just looking at ESPN News. The Phillies have gotten shut out again. That's the fifth time in eight games they've gotten shut out.
Yeah, but unfortunately, yesterday, Roy Halladay threw a perfect game.
Yeah, man, this guy's he's a great pitcher.
Yep.
I hate facing that guy.
You're telling me?
Oh, wait till you guys see him. You guys have only seen him one time.
Yeah, we have. We faced him one time, and of course, that was the game when Pelfrey didn't have it. That's the only game Pelfrey lost. But Pelfrey, thank goodness, thank God he redeemed himself and, whooped the Phillies behind.
Yeah.
And he haven't even started yet. He's a starting pitcher, man, and he still hasn't even started yet.
Well, I mean, Pelfrey's 7-1, so he's been having a good year.
Only Umbaldo Jimenez has pitched better than him this year. That's
cool. He'll be Cy Young.
Hopefully. But then again, Umbaldo Jimenez might give him, might prevent him from winning it, but we shall see.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll jump over to... quickly to the, you heard about the Angels game. Angels was leading 1-1 in the bottom of the 10th in Anaheim. And Kendry Morales, he hits a walk-off grand slam. And when he's celebrating, as he leaps into first base, he slips and falls and breaks his legs. And
yeah, unfortunately.
It was a scary scene because he was lying on the ground for like I think they said for 10 minutes, and he's gonna have surgery, but they don't know when, you know, he's going to return.
If ever. That's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate.
I heard, I was reading that he may be able to return soon with that broken leg. But, I mean, these home plate celebrations are getting out of hand.
For real.
Your player is jumping into the crowd.
Yeah, I'm surprised that doesn't happen more often because you know, these guys are, you know, leaping in the air, you know.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Hopefully he's okay and he'd make a successful return back.
That's messed up. But hopefully best wishes to him, you know, as he recovers.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll move on to a little hoops. And, of course, we mentioned the Celtics and Lakers are going back. But I guess before we get into that, I don't know if you heard about this. Dwayne Wade said that he, you know, before, you know, the free agency of July 1st happens when, you know, all these players like LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and Joe Johnson, you know, they're going to become free agents. But it's until July 8th when teams can sign, you know, new players. So
yes.
Knicks would have to wait. Knicks and all the other teams would have to wait until July 8th to, you know, to negotiate and sign a guy. But back to what I'm saying. Dwayne Wade admitted that he, you know, before the free agency occurs, him, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and Joe Johnson are going to sit down with each other and discuss their free agent plans.
They're going to all meet up and have a summit meeting or something?
Yeah, exactly. They're going to have a summit meeting to decide, I guess, their futures. Now, people are reading into maybe some of these guys are going to sign together, you know, go to a different team and, you know, sign, some of them sign together. But then again, when you think about it, everybody's going to sign what's going to benefit them.
Yeah.
So we shall see what.
I just want LeBron to come here, man.
Yeah, me too. And according to, I think, ESPN, they were saying, like, the strategy is that, when LeBron James, you know, gets courted by the Knicks and he comes to the Garden, they're going to, you know, give him a presentation and they're going to give him a huge presentation. And they're going to suggest different scenarios with him, you know, like this is what could happen if he plays, you know, with Bosh or him and LeBron, him and Wade. They'll give him different options, you know. The biggest one looks like they're gonna try to get LeBron and get Chris Bosh so they can have that inside outside presence.
Yeah.
Instead of having the two superstar guards in Dwayne Wade and LeBron play against each other, because, you know, play together because Bosh and LeBron's games complement each other.
Well, I hope this demonstration isn't for nothing. Cause...
Well, I hope so, too. And another thing you just reminded me is that just recently, LeBron went back to Cleveland to host, I guess, like some type of slam dunk contest. I don't know, for the high school or in the city or something like that. So he showed up. He was wearing not a Cleveland Cavalier uniform. He was wearing a T-shirt that says Witness. Which, of course, you know, refers to him, you know, as, you know, the quote-unquote king and stuff like that.
Right.
So he was wearing a shirt that, you know, self-promotes himself, as usual. And, you know, the fans in Cleveland were pretty much begging him, you know, to re-sign with him. And, you know, he pretty much hardly acknowledged the fans, you know, maybe, you know, a little bit. And he was, you know, judging the dunks and... Pretty much he got inside like some car or limousine or whatever type of car he was in. And after the contest, you know, he drove off.
Yeah, and with his chauffeur in his limo.
Whatever car he was in. I don't know if it was a Hummer or a limousine, but he was in some type of car, you know.
And LeBron better come here. And if he comes here, I'm going to buy season tickets.
I hope he comes here, man.
And I'm gonna take Maureen.
We need him.
We definitely need him.
We need him. We all know Knicks fans are proud people, but come on, we gotta admit it, man. We need this guy. A player like this guy to come to the Garden, man.
Yeah, I don't want to see him going to the Lakers or the Bulls.
Yeah.
Especially the Lakers.
I don't see him going there, but then again, you never know. Because it's like he'd be in the shadow of Kobe or Michael Jordan in either team he goes to. And I'm pretty sure the fans listening right now would agree with us. So, unless if you're, a Bulls or a Laker fan, you'd pretty much agree that LeBron wouldn't go to either of those teams.
Nah, I don't see him going to the Bulls or Lakers. He's either going to stay in Cleveland or come to New York.
Yeah, I agree. And a third option would be the Nets, but I don't see that happening either. But then again, you never know. Because I think if he's going to
make a young team, but I don't know.
Yeah, they do have a young team. But I think if he's going to make the leap out of Cleveland, which I don't know, it looks like he might, but then again, you never know. It's a day-to-day thing. He's going to milk this whole situation until he officially signs with a team in July or maybe late July or August. Who knows? This thing looks like it's going to be at least a month long when he becomes a free agent officially.
Did you hear that his mom was a young NBA player or young?
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. The rumor is that she's reportedly dating, she was asleep, not dating, but sleeping with Delonte West, his teammate.
Oh.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's true, but that'd be messed up.
Damn.
Dude.
His own teammate. I thought it was like a high school player or something.
No. The rumor is that she's with Delonte West.
Oh.
That would be, wow. For his sake, man, I hope that's
he might not stay in Cleveland because of that.
Well, yeah, because of that. It's true, he might not want to stay over there. But then again, he's gonna listen to what he's going to do. He's going to listen to what his girlfriend / baby mama, the mother of his children, is going to decide to do.
Doesn't Delonte West have, like, herpes near his lip or something?
I don't know. Maybe
like he's taking some kind of wart or something rash near his lip.
I'm not even going to touch that one. I don't want to know where or how he got it or what that is. So.
Now he's always had it, though. Like this red spot near his face, near his lip or something.
But, wow. That'd be really messed up if his mom was really with his teammate. That'd be a controversy you never even heard in sports history.
Yeah, that's messed up.
Yep.
I wouldn't talk to my mom if she ever slept with my friends.
What was that?
I would never talk to my mom again if she slept with my friends.
That'd be messed up. But for his sake, I hope it didn't happen. But what's your thoughts about the Lakers-Celtics final? Because it looks like Celtics is going to win again. Hello?
Both.
What was that?
I hate them both, the Lakers and Celtics.
Well, you ain't the only one. I hate those teams too. But then again, we're a Knicks fan, so, and pretty much non-Celtic and Laker fans have a general hatred for the Celtics and the Lakers.
Yeah, I hope both of them just beat up on each other and just, I don't know. And I'm going to root for the Celtics, but I hate the Lakers. I hate the Celtics and Lakers, but I'm going to root for the Celtics more because, I mean, I have a... As much as I hate them, I have more hatred for Lakers because of their Hollywood crowd and all the celebrity bandwagon fans,
Yeah, and that's hard to say. That's hard to say because you know, I happen to agree with you, even though Celtics is in our division, and we do have a huger, you know, history and rival with those guys, you know,
yeah,
being our division. But then again, we have some heated history with the Lakers, having beaten them our only two times in franchise history against the Lakers. Knicks, you know, beat the Lakers in 70 and 73. Lakers, that Laker team beat the Knicks in 72. And, of course, Lakers, when they were in Minneapolis in the early 50s, when Knicks went to the finals for the first three times in their career, and they lost all three times.
Yeah. And you know, Celtics is in the East, so I'm going to root for them even though I don't like them. And they've beaten the Knicks in the late 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever.
And another thing, it's like, this is like this is just like what happened with the baseball Yankees versus Phillies. I mean,
yeah,
I hate both teams. So it's like, man, I wish that both teams could end in a draw, but unfortunately that can't happen.
Yeah, that can't happen.
But
I wish it could happen also, but
but now you know how I feel. Except you were on the winning end of that.
Yeah, I told you yesterday. Now I know how you feel about the Yankees. Now that can't stand the Lakers.
Oh yeah, I've always hated the Celtics, and I've always compared the Lakers to the Yankees of the West.
Yeah. And you know the funny thing about it, all these Knicks players in the postseason, now that Nate Robinson, he's going to the finals with the Celtics. Who would ever imagine that Nate Robinson will be in the finals before all the other Knicks players? Even Lee.
Yeah, the way how it looked like those two, if either of those guys would be in the NBA finals, it would be together.
Yeah. Or
if
Lee at least.
Well, yeah, or Lee.
Yeah.
Because Lee, you know, he's more of a complimentary player.
Yeah.
Nate is more of a, you know, guy off the bench. But Lee is, you know, he's a starting, you know, power forward, even though he's played center, you know, as a Knick for these past couple of years.
Yeah, I'm wondering if we get boshed, are we going to keep Lee or let him go?
I think they're gonna let him go because they'd be able to sign the two max players, and Lee is not. Lee, according to the rumors, is that Lee believes he's a superstar. Well, he believes he's a star slash superstar player.
Okay.
That he has the potential to be. So it looks like he's gonna, you know, play. You know, he's gonna want. I'm guessing around $10 to $13 million.
Yeah.
And Knicks isn't gonna have that money if they're successful with getting LeBron and another complimentary player, which most likely would be Chris Bosh or Dirk Nowitzki. Who knows?
He's been good for us though, and he's a. I mean, we signed him out of the draft.
Yeah, I'd hate to see Lee go, but...
Yeah, and he's a great rebounder. He gets like 10, 11 rebounds a game. He's a double-double guy. I would hate to see him leave, though.
Yeah.
I mean, we already gave up Nate Robinson. Now we're going to let Lee leave? I mean, there's some way we could keep him and get Bosh and LeBron.
Yeah,
there has to be some way.
I would so, too, but... It doesn't look that way. Looks like you're gonna get. It's gonna be LeBron and another player, or well, that's if LeBron comes over here, and you know Lee and some other, I guess, complementary type players. But you know we shall see.
Oh well.
But switching over to, you know, sports entertainment. What do you think about the our troops finisher, the liar truth detector, whichever one they
want
to call it?
You know, actually, right now I'm watching a replay of Raw on Mundo's.
Oh. I mean, it looks nice, you know, the spin, but it's not believable. It doesn't look like it even hits the guy. It looks like Street Fighter when M. Bison does like that spinning around move when he's on fire. You know that move I'm talking about? Hello? Hello? Live radio, folks. Well, I guess we'll see if he comes back here. But in the meanwhile, while he fixes this, sort out this technical difficulty. We're gonna, you know, talk about this. Well, you know, I like that they're, you know, improving MVP. You know, they're giving him a push, and you know, they give him a new finishing move, the 305, which he stole from Shelton Benjamin after Shelton Benjamin got fired from the WWE. And you know, it looks like you know, they change. You know, they're gonna give MVP a push, but that's to be seen in the future whether or not they will continue. Because there's rumors that WWE is gonna promote. You know, they're gonna try to promote the next, you know, African American world champion. So it could be either Kofi Kingston or MVP, which I'm hoping would be R-Truth, who's the new United States champion. Shad and JTG from Crime Time, which they're broke up now. And, well, you know, there's, you know, they're going to see who they're going to pick out of those guys who might potentially be the next world champion for the first time in their career. I think out of them, MVP has the more, you know, potential, because, you know, he has the charisma. He needs to work a little bit more on his in-ring ability. But I'd say a close second would be Kofi Kingston, you know. The fans, you know, got behind him after the, after his feud with Orton, like, 6 months ago, at least 6 months ago, when Orton was still a villain. So, you know, that remains to be seen. And, hey, Mac, you back? Apparently, he's stepped out a moment, or we're having some type of, you know, technical difficulties over here. Apologize for that, ladies and gentlemen. And congratulations to Bret Hart winning the United States Championship last week. He vacated the title, and he's the new United States Champion. I mean, he was, but he gave it up. But now he's the new GM of Raw, and Batista quit. Just when Batista was getting interesting, since his original feud with Triple H when he was a good guy, when he turned from a bad guy to a good guy, just when he's getting interesting with the Cena feud, you know, he leaves, and he might reportedly go to MMA. But no, we shall see. Hopefully, WWE will be interesting, you know, next couple of weeks. So, thanks a lot, everybody. I want to thank you guys for coming on the show, listening to the show. God bless you guys. See you next week. Thanks, Macaulay. You hear this, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the show. Thank you. God bless. See you later.